Praise Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for this morning, beautiful day. And I just echo the prayers that have been lifted up. Just teach everyone that's traveling, protect them. They may have a refreshing time and just built up and encouraged, Lord. I just pray you just speak to us this morning. Teach us, be our teacher, show us things we've never seen before. And Lord, that we can be encouraged by your word. Just open our hearts to receive and just we can give thanks to our relationship with you. Just anoint me, I can speak words of the Spirit, and that truly you can, people's hearts should be open to receive. So I thank you for our time this morning and I praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Now, I've often shared just before for the heck of it, how much I struggle over the titles. This one was fun. Y'all like my title? Okay. Hilarious Giver. Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Again, we're plodding through 2 Corinthians, seeing a lot of doctrine and things, and so here we are at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. It says this: each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And that's what your Bible says, cheerful. The literal meaning for cheerful is hilarious. Now, everybody, if they preach on this, they will tell you that's a literal meaning. Why don't the scholars behind that print out the Bible use this? I don't know. But it means hilarious giver. Okay? I mean, cheerful's good, but hilarious is just should strike a chord and say, now what is going on? Why would you use a word like this? So God loves a hilarious giver. All right. I mean, he's given some preferential treatment right here. So we're going to look at this and think about it. And two, I always like to put in context. You look at this. Okay, here we are. You're going to preach this. And I've actually heard this. You just pull it out of whatever and preach and you don't have any context. But we have the 1 Corinthians and we have 9 chapters of 2 Corinthians. So I just want to let you know, remind us, Paul is assuming we know something. He didn't hit us out of the blue with this. Okay, so he says, okay, you're coming through. If you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you know, you believe you have a home in heaven. So anyway, so thus we're on this verse. Now, we all know, everybody, you know, already know, that we should give to the local church. I mean, I know you know that. It's just a biblical fact. Every church in the world knows this. They may disagree on every doctrine in the world, but they agree on this one. Okay? so we know that. And the fact of it is, you all, and this is the truth, you all, you can ask all the others, you all have been so faithful in giving, I don't feel like this message of giving even is necessary for you. I don't even think it's necessary, you know. And I can agree with what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:1, verse 1. He says this concerning giving. He said, now it is unnecessary for me to write to you about this ministry. He says it's unnecessary. So that's how he starts it off. It's unnecessary. But he says, here is a truth, and you need to, I want to remind you of it. So it's unnecessary for Paul. It's unnecessary for me. So hopefully, I'm not going to ask you for nothing, not a nickel. You know, that's not what this is about. But at the same time, hopefully, you will be encouraged by going over the blessing God has promised each of you for faithfully giving to the local church. So you said, okay, I've given. Well, here's the blessing. So he's telling y'all right here. You ready? Here's the blessing. You're ready to receive your blessing? So we're going to go over that. Now, And again, we'll start off with, is that word cheerful is literally hilarious. Hilarious. I mean, just, you walk over to the offering box, you put your check in, and just grab your stomach, bend over, holler in laughter, and somebody has to come help you stand up to get together so you can leave. So you're so excited. That's what hilarious is. Okay. So when we understand, so what he's telling us, when we understand giving, we will be hilarious, joyful, hilariously joyful about giving. So if we understand it, so we need to understand it. So to make sure we understand it, verse 7, let's go back to verse 6, okay? Let's look at verse 6, because this is a previous verse that God is helping us understand this whole idea. So 2 Corinthians 9:6 says this. It starts off, says, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So this is the introduction of the verse. Here is sowing and reaping, you know, for hilarious givers. Now, so God wants to communicate, God wants to communicate the idea and the understanding of giving. And to do that, he chooses to use a farming analogy. So he wants to explain this, to understand what giving to him means. So he uses this, communicates the benefit of giving using a farming analogy. Now, granted, at the time, everybody understood this. I mean, especially in Israel, their whole economy was based on agriculture. So it was permeated everything. So they certainly understood sowing and reaping, but we're not that far removed. We know what sowing and reaping is. If you've ever planted anything, you know, I've used to think you plant one kernel of corn, and what do you get? Wow, one kernel of wheat. You know that's not true, right? You press one kernel of corn, and you get a stalk of 5 or 6 corn with hundreds of kernel from that one. You don't get wheat, you get corn. What you put in, you get back. And the multiplication is overwhelming. And so he's coming at you know that. And he says, now I'm going to talk to you about giving. And it's based on that. It's based on that. But it's based on our faith in God. So he's telling us something about himself. Okay? So, what it is. Basically, if you don't put much in, you don't get much back. However you put a bunch in, you get a bunch back. I mean, that's what it said. Not only that, God bountifully multiplies more back than we give. Now, so as we do this, and I do this every once in a while, so as we look at this principle and say, okay, this is what God's saying, and we're trying to get our arms around it, so I'm going to go over here. Do you believe that Jesus paid the penalty for your sins? Do you believe you're forgiven? Do you believe you have a home in heaven? Amen. Then you should believe in sowing and reaping. God said both of them. Okay, so you kind of put, oh, okay, God's serious about this, and he's communicating. And again, Paul is saying, hey, you guys are doing this. I'm excited about you. And this blessing is going to pour into you because I'm excited about you. Now, this is, the law of sowing and reaping is God's method of operation throughout the Bible. He uses this in other places. Here he's talking about giving, but it's used throughout the Bible. Like in, excuse me, like in Galatians 6:7, it says this: do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Okay? We are saved by grace. Hallelujah. Okay. But, you know, you kind of get what you put into it on earth. You know, he's telling us that. You know, this is so he's making a point here. All right, now let's go back to verse 7. So let's look at 2 Corinthians 9:7 again. So the foundation comes, why we're hilarious, comes out of verse 6. Okay. You're hilarious because something's coming back. I mean, that's what it's talking about. So what verse 7 is telling us, based on our trust in God, our understanding of sowing and reaping, we make a decision about how much we're going to give his church. And by the way, he's talking about his church. And it's funny, like I said, all churches can believe all sorts of different doctrines, all of them. Believing, unbelieving. They all believe this one. All of them, you know. So, but God's putting it for us in a context, and he says, what you're supposed to do is you understand this, therefore, because you understand this, you need to make a decision. He's not even telling you what to do. He's just saying you need to make a decision, to make a decision here. God wants us to make a heart decision by faith under no compulsion. Now, the same pastors I was talking about don't believe that. No compulsion. No. They're all in the compulsion. Right. All in the compulsion. But God's not in the compulsion. He's not into compulsion, okay? So he wants us to make a heart decision under no compulsion concerning the amount we will give. Okay, now notice something here. In this context, notice something. This is important. Notice here, we're not told how much to give. Nothing. Not told. It's not here. And so, in the context, that's not necessary. What's necessary is our heart to God and what we believe about God. That's what's necessary. Y'all with me? I mean, that's the only thing. See? So, let's read this. Verse 9. Read the whole thing. Each of you should give what you have decided I tell you to give. Is that right? Is that right? No, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart. Let me tell you what ought to be in your heart. No. No. Absolutely not. You should give what you have decided in your heart. Not reluctantly. Oh, my God. Rent's due. I've got to put this check in. Lord, what am I supposed to do? God goes, keep it. Keep it. I don't want it. Your attitude stinks. I don't want your check. Keep it. And you give it. Now, listen to this. I believe it. You give it to me, you ain't getting nothing back. You're not going to get nothing back. Your heart's wrong. Mm-mm. I'm going to probably lose your check on the way to the bank. I'm not interested in it. I mean, I may be reading into that, but you see what I'm saying here. So he said, you decide in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Okay, what does it mean, not reluctantly, under compulsion? Think about all the feelings you have when you give. I don't want to do this. I can't. I just don't. I promise you, God's not going to bless it. Don't. Just don't. Okay? Get together sometime. Yeah. Praying and Lord plays on his heart. I will say this because he told me he said it. He told me he did it. And he said he wants to preach on it sometime. Okay, so I can share this, and I haven't cleared this with him yet, but he will be okay with me sharing it, okay? Ray Messina. He said, don't like giving. Don't want to give, you know? So, and he gave me different reasons. It just, all right, you know, no argument there. And lo and behold, and I'm condensing it, you can talk to him. He'll tell you about it. Maybe I should let him preach on it, because he said he wanted to preach on it. And he said, God told him he needed to give sacrificially. And he said, I give so much, and God would tell him, that's not enough. I'm going, go, Jesus. Now, and he said he gave some more, and God told him, it's not enough. And he gave some more. He said, that's right. See, the thing of it, now, Ray, go talk to Ray. Well, I said, Ray, we want to hear you preach. I don't know if you do or not, but Ray, we want to hear you preach on this. Wallace brought it, said you wanted to preach on this. He said, I want to preach on giving. You know, and then he said, now you're going to have to filter this back through him. Then he said that God just abundantly blessed him in every area. You know. Okay. So Ray's not here today. He's in Puerto Rico using some of his money to whatever you do in Puerto Rico. Okay. So, but that's what this verse is saying. This is what this verse is saying, okay? It's like, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. God goes, I don't want that. That's not, if there's any compulsion, don't do it. If you're reluctant, don't do it. That's the underlying sin. Why? For God loves a cheerful giver. You know? You don't want to get it, you put it in, you ain't happy. God says, I ain't happy either. We're both happy. We're both unhappy because you gave. You're upset and I'm upset. I ain't blessing you on top of it. You know, it's like, you think you're sad now, I ain't giving you nothing for what you gave. I mean, I think they have this conversation going, God going on there. Okay, so but you see, what the purpose is, for God loves a cheerful giver. See, he's happy. He said, they're happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. They're happy. I'm happy, you know. But now remember, are we just happy being happy? No, we're happy because of verse 6. We're happy because of verse 6. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. We're hilarious because we're going to reap generously. We're going to get more back than we put. We're hilarious because we're getting a bunch back. He's not saying, just put it in, love Jesus, and sacrifice. Well, that'd probably be a good way, but it's not what he's saying. Not here. That's not what he's saying. He said, no, have so much faith in me that you know when you put in that, you're going to be overwhelmed abundantly, that you're jumping out for joy. Say, oh, my God, I can't see what God is going to do. Now, that's what happened to Ray. You know, we really need Ray to preach up here. Because it did. It actually happened to him. You know, he's totally convinced. He's convinced me. He's convinced. All right. So, and he volunteered that to me. He volunteered that to me. So he loves it. Cheerful giver. Now, also, and I think it's okay to be picky, too. Just, you know, no preacher should ever demand or beg people to give. I'm just going to tell you something. I'm just a guy you can hold me accountable. If a preacher preaches like that, the guy has no walk with Jesus. He didn't trust Jesus. He's trusting the congregation that he can manipulate to get what he can do. See? And it's not for their benefit, it's for his benefit. You know? You see what I'm saying? So we said, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Amazing. So what we see here, when it says God loves a cheerful giver, there's a reason why he loves a cheerful giver. There's a reason why. And the reason why is because they trust him and are absolutely convinced that they will receive back abundantly more than they give. He's happy, we know that, and trust him enough to act on it. He goes, look, they believe everything I said. They believe I am going to give back to them. And that just rejoices that they believe in me, you know? And so I'm just ready to abundantly bless them. I love them. You know what it says. Now, so this God loves this cheerful giver because he believes the cheerful giver believes that they don't lose a nickel. They give, and oh my God, it's going to come overflowing in. Because God tells us, some people, well, you shouldn't think that way. Why not? God tells us to. Don't tell me I shouldn't think that way when God tells me to think that way, you know, because it's a belief and it's a trust issue. God, you're going to take care of all of this. Therefore, he adds, 2 Corinthians 9:8, we're cheerful. We are absolutely hilarious because of 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. You're kidding me. Listen to these words. Let's see, we'll go down. All, every. What does it cover? All, every. I mean, that's not even good literature. You know, he could construct his sentences better than that. It's using all to me. Would you ever write a letter and use all three times in a row? You know, I mean, God. And then to cap it off with every, you know. Why? Because God wants us to know, I'll take care of all, every. Well, what about, I told you all, three alls and one every. Don't ask me what. I said three alls and one every. I cover everything, right? All God's people said. It says, God is able to bless you abundantly. Now, this is in context with giving. Okay, that's the kicker. God will bless you abundantly. And we are hilarious because we believe it. So that in all things, I'm hilarious. All times, I'm hilarious. Having all that I need, I'm hilarious. I will abound in every good work. I am hilarious. My gosh, I won't have Linda write another check and put it in the bank. Oh, and that's amazing. See, I'm hilarious and God loves it. Because I believe he'll provide for me. Y'all with me? He loves me. He loves a cheerful giver. He loves me because I believe he'll provide for me. And where's the reality? I'll give. Not, oh my God, here I go, give. No. Oh my God, the opportunity. Oh, well, I'm in the morning waiting for Adam to come in at 8 o'clock to open the thing to pray so I can get as fast as I can to put my check in. I am so excited because all things, I believe God is all things, all time, every situation. He provides. That's what he says. That's what he said. God doesn't provide me anything. I'm going, well, I think there may be one problem I'm aware of. You don't give nothing. I mean, that's just what it says. That's just what it says. So, here's what we know about. We give God, what this is, God pays attention to what we give and blessing us according to our faith. What is our faith? What God showed us, and we did what God said. That's faith. So, he has to show you something. And when he shows you, you get... Now, that's what Ray had no idea I was used to make him as a centerpiece of this message. All right, I wouldn't even think about it myself, you know. But what happened is Ray, by faith, God told him he believed God and gave, and God returned the blessing. Ray saw it and said, oh, my God, God, is this enough? He goes, no. And that's ask Ray. You know, and you ever heard this, says you can't outgive God. Well, that's the truth. And then that's what Ray told me. You know. So, Ray, you tell Ray he needs to listen to this message. and you know, don't contradict me or nothing, but just okay. So God pays attention to what we give, and he blesses us according our faith. What's faith? What he told us. See, we decided in our own heart. If I tell you give this, that's not faith. That's compulsion. You know, put it in, and then God, I ain't blessing you. But I did what Wallace said. I still ain't blessing you. You took him that serious? See, no, you decided in your heart, and you believe God would abundantly, and you gave. See, that's what he's saying here. Now, we never lose one nickel of anything we give to God. See, you know that's not in the scripture. I said that, you know. But anyway, I like it. We never lose one nickel of anything we give to God. We know that God will abundantly, bountifully, super exceedingly meet all our needs. See, that's what God says. What is he trying to do? He's trying to convince us. He's trying to convince us. I'll do all that. Well, I don't know. I don't think so. I believe I'm going to heaven. Can't wait to get there. Hate this life. Can't pay the rent. Quit. You know, jeez. You know, won't you believe I can provide? You know, well, I can't see it. I told you. Therefore, that should be enough. And if I tell you and you do what I say, that's faith. Right? I mean, that's just what the verse is saying. It's like, oh my goodness. And all these words are not words I made up. He uses them all through Scripture. Abundantly, bountifully, super exceedingly. Meet all your needs, every need. Okay. So he's telling us, it's like, my goodness. And in this piece right here, he tells us another place, but in this piece right here, he's talking about giving. He is talking about giving. And he's talking about giving to the local church. And by the way, what's God's message to the world? It's to the local church. Okay. So that's what he's telling. But he's saying that for you to decide before the Lord what the Lord tells you. Okay. Unbelievable. Now, he doesn't stop there. I'm going to share something with you. It's going to blow your socks off, I'm going to tell you. I swear, I told Linda coming in, I said, I'm going to share something today, this morning. You never heard. She heard it. She never heard it. So if she ain't heard it, you ain't heard it. All right. And I'm like, oh my God. So anyway, I'm excited to look at this, but let's just start this next verse. Not the whole verse. I'm going to zero in on something. So he says, 2 Corinthians 9:10. I mean, he's just continuing, you know, sowing and reaping, giving everything. It says, now he, God, who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, will also supply, notice the asterisk, will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest. But God, will you take care of everything? Well, I wouldn't say that. Yes, we say it all the time. What? I mean, why didn't he end with verse 8? Why 7 and 8? I mean, that covers it. But he just has to repeat himself. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge your harvest. It's like you're not going to be able to handle what I do with you. You're not going to be able to handle it. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying. God not only provides for our needs, but also gives us abundantly more so that we will be able to hilariously give again. See? Oh man, God multiply. Thank you, God. I'm keeping it. Give me 10%. You ain't got nothing. I'm keeping the whole thing. You know, I ain't giving you 10% back. You know, it's mine. See? He goes, no, this is a constant. Oh man, I just, you're hilarious. Now continue to be hilarious and continue to be blessed and continue to be hilarious and continue to, don't ever stop being hilarious, because you trust me giving what I told you to give, not what Wallace told you to give, what I told you to give. And there's no amount here. No amount here. There's no amount here in this section. Okay. Are you ready for what I'm going to share with you? Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Look at this word. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply. He will also supply. That word, supply. Supply and increase your store. He will supply. Circle that word. Okay. This word is the, I think I wrote it on the overhead. I did. This word, C-H-O-R-E-G-E-O, is the Greek word there used for supply. It's only used twice. I mean, supply, that's a word you use that all the time, not this one. It's only used twice in the New Testament. And used again in 1 Peter, where God says he supplies. Okay, so it's a supply thing. So what it came from, where it originated. Y'all work with me. Okay, this is fun. I'm just having a blast doing this. Y'all work with me. Okay, it ends good. This is word has to do with theaters, okay? Has to do with productions and theaters in ancient Athens. They used this in ancient Athens when they did a performance. They set up a performance. This is the word they used, okay? And this is where the supply comes from. This is where this word comes from, okay? Now, they used it where... Now, follow me. They used it where someone would lead a dance or a chorus. They used dance in the Bible. Can you believe that? Okay. Where someone would lead a dance or a chorus, then someone would pay all the expenses for the dancer and the entire performance. Do you see what I'm saying? He says, now I'll supply. Well, he said, we're going to have a dance. And we're going to have a dancer. And we're going to have all the costumes and the setup and everything. And this is what, have a dancer and a dance and all the production. We're going to have that all set up. And he goes, and I'm going to pay for everything. That's what he's saying. Okay. The word came to mean fully supply. So he's making, and he's associating this giving, so he fully supplies. Therefore, now here we go, a little translation here. Therefore, we could say God asked us to perform. We're the dancer. Okay? Therefore, we could say God asked us to perform, which is giving. He said, now perform. This is giving. And I'll pay all the expenses. You give, I'll cover everything. The whole performance, you, and everything surrounding it. See, it's not just give. So, sowing and reaping is easy to understand. But what he's saying here, no. God says, God asks us to perform, giving, then he pays the cost of the entire performance. Here, or God says, you perform in this dancing, giving, and I'll pay all your expenses. Go have a dance, and I'll pay it all. Are you starting to get hilarious? Go have a dance, and I'll pay it all. You perform this dance, giving, and I'll pay all the expenses. Or, when this, how that was used, God is saying, dance with me by giving, and I will abundantly meet all your needs. Did you hear what I said here? Dance with me by giving. The chicken offering box, and break down. Break down with Jesus. With Jesus. Dance. You put that in there. You're dancing with me by giving, and I will abundantly meet all your needs. And he said, dance with me, and I'll meet all your needs. That's what he's saying. Dance with me, and I'll meet all your needs. And if we, how many here like that? I mean, now, nobody danced worse than me. But how many would just say, wouldn't it be kind of cool to dance with Jesus? I mean, I'd just fall asleep. I mean, wouldn't that be kind of cool? Just dance with Jesus. And Jesus, I want you to dance with me. I want you to dance. And you dance with me, and I'll supply everything. But your dance is giving. You know? And you got to believe that I'll dance with you if you give. But if you don't believe I'm going to dance with you, you're not going to give. But you believe, no, I'm happy. I love it. I want to dance with you. You give. Come dance with me. Come dance with me. When you give, and the hilarious, Jesus is saying, come dance with me. That's what he said here. That's what he said. He said, come dance with me. He supplies all of the seed to the sower, and bread and food will also say, I'll dance with you. I'll supply everything with you. It is a glorious performance. Glorious performance. Dance with me and I'll pay for everything. And enlarge your harvest. And so what God's saying, God loves to keep dancing with us. That's it. Why wouldn't you give? Why wouldn't you give? When God says, oh, I love it. I just love it. I want to dance with you so much. I want to dance with you so much. Just love it. Just give. And we can dance together. Why wouldn't you give? Why in the world wouldn't you give? See, why wouldn't it be a joy to give? And he goes, it's hilarious. And I love you because you believe me and you dance with me. And the proof is how much you gave. That's what he's saying. What he's saying. I don't want to say amen because you're thinking, you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be kidding me. You know, I want to share something. And this is tough for a preacher to say. This is tough for a preacher to say. God says, I don't need your money. I do not need it. I told you before, you see those people around, give to Jesus. You know, get a job, Herb. You don't. He didn't need our money. He doesn't need our money. We give, and it proves we trust him, and we dance with him, and he loves it. Us giving our money proves we love him, and that he will supply everything from the heart. No compulsion. No compulsion. If I beat up here, you give, 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 give. Don't you ever give a nickel. Because God ain't going to bless it. He's not going to bless it. You know, you think you're in financial problems now, just give. Because I said to. Ain't helping. So you think, oh my gosh. God loves us to keep dancing with us. I hope you never look at giving the same again. It's like, oh my gosh. Now, so, what's the next verse say? Okay, we're all context people. What is the next verse? We're dancing with Jesus. Say, what are you doing? You give it? No, man, I'm just dancing with Jesus. That's all I do, is just dance with Jesus, you know. Not giving, I'm dancing with Jesus. Look at the next verse, verse 11. Giving is dancing with Jesus. 2 Corinthians 9:11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Dancing with Jesus, you ain't worried about money. You're just enjoying dancing with Jesus. and doing what God says with the money. Hey, you're dancing with Jesus, and I was dancing with Jesus, and I ran out of money and couldn't pay the rent. No, that ain't going to happen. That ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. You know, okay, what are you doing? I'm just dancing with you. Hey, the whole world's falling apart. I know, I'm just dancing with you, you know. It's fun. See, I'm not worried. I'm not worried. Why do you believe the Bible? Then you believe verse 11. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. Do what God tells you to. If you go before the Lord, don't give nothing. Then don't give nothing. Give what He tells you to. It's not under compulsion. It's not under compulsion. It's between you and Jesus. Between you and Jesus. Now, here's something. Now, that's why I said Linda never heard before. Okay. Never. By the way, you ain't heard it before. I want to share something else. I've never heard it preached before. I'm not saying it hasn't been. I just never heard it. But it's right there. It is right there. Now, oh, by the way, anybody wants to look up the word? I put the notes in my notes so you can see where I studied the word. That particular word for supply. But it opens up how God works and how He wants us in tune with what He says. And as we do what He says, He blesses it because He said it. Okay? And so He's telling us. So we're going to take this information. Now we're going to add something to it. Okay? Now, the Apostle Paul wrote 2 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul wrote Philippians. So he knew what he wrote in 2 Corinthians when he wrote Philippians. He didn't have a new revelation. So look what he adds to this whole thing of giving. Fascinating. It all tied together. Giving never ends. Not only is giving beneficial, it is also being credited to your personal account. Now, the Bible says you give and you abundantly receive. But it also says as you abundantly receive, you are receiving resources in your personal account. Did you know you had a personal account with Jesus? I'm just telling you, you have a personal account with Jesus. It talks about, hey, you have rewards. You say, I didn't know I had those rewards. You get, yeah, you just built up a right. You've got a whole big account with me. Or you go, oh, man, I'm running out of money. I can't give anything. God, because you got so much money in your account, you don't know how much money you got. You just make a withdrawal from your account, and I'll fill it. And say, okay, God, if you tell me, you're going to fill it because it's out of your account. We have a personal account with God based on what we give. Well, is your kidding me? Philippians 4:17. Pay attention. And by the way, this is not for me. I swear before the Lord Jesus Christ, this is not about me to you. This is about you to Jesus. Philippians 4:17. Paul says, not that I desire your gifts. Your preacher. The preacher standing up here and he's going to say, it's not that I desire your gifts. That's what you want to hear a preacher say. It's not that I desire. That's what Paul said. I don't desire. I don't want your gifts. I don't want them. Don't want them. Not that I desired your gifts giving. What I desire is that more be credited to your account. You give. Man, you give. And I'm crediting things to your account. You give, I'm crediting more to your account. You give, I'm crediting more to your account. And then I'll put you in a situation you're going to have to pull from that account. You're going to have to pull from that account. And you're going to have everything because you built that account up when you didn't even know what was going on. And you built up the resources. And so you're walking around with all this stuff in your account. What are you worried about? What are you worried about? You've been giving. You've been giving. He says, and that's what I'm worried about. I'm telling you about giving so I can see money credited your account. I'm excited for you. I want to see money in your account. And then you have great resources to live this life. That's the way a preacher should preach. Okay. Then the apostle says he doesn't desire our gift as much as he desires the blessing and resources added to our heavenly account when we give. This account holds resources available for future withdrawals. We give now, and we're building up resources for our entire life that God will pull from. We don't ever put anything in. And, you know, we go 20 years, and we're pulling, and God's not giving them. Why not? He's because you never obeyed me in the first place. You never built up an account, you know. You never built up an account. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying right here. God says, don't worry about finances. Dance with me by giving, and I will provide. Don't worry about it. Just dance with me. Therefore, Philippians, I have 17 actually, I think it's 19. But Philippians, it's two verses down. Therefore, we believe this. You're giving, going to our account. Don't worry about finances. Dance with me by giving, and I will provide. Therefore, the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4, says 17 again, but it's actually 19. 4:19, and he goes, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That's an absolute truth based on giving. And it's giving to him, and it's giving through the local church. God really puts a lot of emphasis on the local church. He really does. Okay. So, this is what he's talking about. Don't worry about it. How many of you worried about finance? He goes, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of glory in Christ. Based on what's your account. He said, I will meet all your needs according to the riches of glory in Christ. Based on your account. Because you believe me and gave to me and you built up resources in your account. It's hanging around forever. Call on any time. You go, yeah, don't worry. Dance with me. Don't worry about fun. Just dance with me. It's fun. Be hilarious. Be hilarious. This is why, by the way, this Philippians 4:19 is an absolute truth. There you go. I mean, here he goes using these words again. All your needs. All your needs. This is why we're hilarious givers. This is why we are hilarious givers. We know that God will meet all our needs. And then it says God loves hilarious givers. God looks and God loves for those who dance with him. Loves hilarious givers, those who dance with him. You know, John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Dance with me. Dance with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love. And Lord, who knew? I mean, who knew how you looked at us? How you looked at finances? How you looked at all provision? How you looked at everything? Who knew? And you're saying, what I want you to do is love me. I want you to love me. I want you to know I provide all things at all times in every situation. I want you to know that. Love me. I just want you to know that. And you cannot outgive me. No, just give and then dance with me. Don't worry. Don't worry. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you. I mean, help us to process through this and just know. And this is all about trusting you. This is all about believing you. It is all about being obedient to you. It is all about walking with you and depending upon you. Say, dear Jesus, we depend on you in all things. So God, we thank you for that. And you thank you that you're teaching us to be joyful before you. In the name and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.